ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट 13 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। प्रथम स्कंद अध्याय 18 श्लोक संख्या 13।
तुलयामलवेनापि न स्वर्गं न पुनर्भवं भगवत्संगिसंगस्य मर्त्यानां किमुताशेषः।
Translation: the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Purport: when there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Men who are addicted to material happiness aspire to reach the heavenly planets like the moon, Venus, and Indraloka. And those who are advanced in material philosophical speculation aspire after liberation from all material bondage. When one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called apunarbhava, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures obtainable in the heavenly planets are like phantasmagoria, and because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasure and distress, they are factually liberated even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence, namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world, as a government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home or at any place. So a devotee has nothing to do with anything material, for he is exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasure can he derive from material benedictions like kingship or other overlordships, which are finished quickly with the end of the body? Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. Suta Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his association with the rishis in Naimisharanya is unique. In the material world, association with gross materialists is veritably contemned. The materialist is called Yoshit Sangi, or one who is much attracted to material entanglements, women and other paraphernalia. Such attachment is conditioned because it drives away the benedictions of life and prosperity. And just the opposite is Bhagavata Sangi, or one who is always in the association of the Lord's name, form, qualities, etc. Such association is always desirable, it is worshipable, it is praiseworthy, and one may accept it as the highest goal of life.
Tulayama lavena pina swargang na punabhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kimutashashaha.
The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or illusion from matter, and what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. This is one of the more famous verses of the Bhagavatam. Exactly the same verse appears in the fourth canto in the discussion of the Prachetas. There are quite a few verses in the Bhagavatam which appear more than once, especially verses which establish philosophical principles, mostly from the first canto. They also appear in the 11th and also in the 12th, especially at the 12th canto and at the end of the 12th canto, and usually slightly changed in the 12th canto. But this verse appears exactly as it is in relationship to the Prachetas and Lord Shiva. This verse is also quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and is from time to time quoted within Srila Prabhupada's purports. So it's not one of the most quoted verses, but it's an often quoted verse. Within this verse we get the seed or the idea of the well-known verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu sanga sarva shastri koi lava matras sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. That all the revealed scriptures state that sadhu sanga is stated twice for emphasis. That if we get association with sadhus for even a moment, then we can attain all perfection. The same word is used, lover. Lava matra in Bengali, only for a lover. And here, lavani, lavainapi. So the word lover is, Srila Prabhupada translates this as 1/11th of a second, which is an approximation, which seems to be a very short time. How much benefit can you get? We're supposed to go on hearing, just like that verse I've been quoting. Shuryatang, shuryatang, nityam, giyatam, giyatam, muda, chintyatas, chintyatas, bhaktas, bhaktas, chaitanya charitamritam. Go on hearing regularly. Chaitanya charitamrita. Sing it regularly. Consider its subject matter regularly. So how are we going to get perfection in a second? Or less than a second. Well, Mahaman Prabhu gave an answer to that yesterday, indirectly, in stating that just by Srila Prabhupada touching his head and saying Jai, Mahaman Prabhu was convinced to join this movement. So you may say, well, that's not a very philosophical conviction. But something happened that changed his heart. Of course, Srila Prabhupada mocks the idea. Mock, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Mocks the idea of Shaktipat, which is the Sanskrit term for what I will describe. Srila Prabhupada describes it here in the first chapter. He doesn't mention the names, but it's a story of Paramahamsa Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. How the guru touched the disciple who felt electric shock surge through his body. He became unconscious. And when he came back to consciousness, he saw his guru crying. He asked, why are you crying? And the guru said, because whatever I had, I gave it to you by the electric shock. This is nonsense. It's the idea that the guru becomes drained of knowledge and realization by giving it to someone else. Even on the material platform, if you teach someone something, you don't lose the knowledge yourself. Even on the material platform, if you explain something to someone, you tend to understand it better yourself. So this moment's association with the devotee doesn't refer to this so-called shakti part, in which the energy of a spiritually advanced person is transmitted to another by touch, and then there's some feeling of it does happen, but in a different way. It's the process happens by speaking and hearing. And also that's mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Rupa Goswami to understand and discuss the Raja Bhakti Ras, Sancha Shakti Sancharalo. It means he Shakti, the energy, he transmitted it to Rupa Goswami. So that is a factor also, that the blessings of a sadhu, as Srila Prabhupada writes, I believe in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, that the blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful for one's spiritual advancement than one's own efforts. Doesn't mean that one's own efforts are not required, but Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Without Guru Kripa, then it doesn't work. Just like you have all the ingredients to make some preparation, to make a cake, you have to get flour, baking soda, water, sugar, that's the minimum ingredients. And the demons, they put eggs also. And you may have some other ingredients, like slivered nuts, dried fruit, and so on. So you may have all the ingredients and mix them all together, but without putting it in the oven, it won't work. Something, all the ingredients are there, but you have to, there's some essential ingredient which makes a change. Otherwise, even if one goes through the motions of devotional service, one won't actually make progress. An example given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is of the wedding party in Bengal going from one place to another. They had a long journey to make, so they went by boat, which was quite common, especially in East Bengal until recently, at least when I was living in East Bengal, now Bangladesh. It was still a major form of human communication and transport was via, on the rivers, by boats. So the example given, generally people don't go as in a group anywhere. They may go occasionally for a wedding, to a religious festival. Nowadays they're more likely to go for a... Anyway, people move around a lot, but in Bengal, one other major reason for going from one place to another is to go to a political rally. And I guess throughout India, it's like that. So anyway, the idea was they'd get in the boat at night and the boatman will row the boat. And in the morning, they should be close to their destination. So they all got in the boat, just at sunset, and I guess it must have been Amavasya or thereabouts, maybe with clouds in the sky, so it was very dark. And the boatman started rowing, and they all went to sleep. The people in the boat went to sleep, and they woke up early in the morning with the light just coming in to see the boatman still rowing, putting a lot of effort in. And as the light came up further, they saw that they hadn't moved from their own village. They were still in the same place. And then they found out the cause for this is that the boat is tied up it's tied up to the shore. I can't remember the word. Well, you bang a piece of wood in the ground and tie it up. That's the village system. There's something else, a pucker metal thing, which the name of which I can't remember just now. No, it's not an anchor. An anchor is something else. It's another way of keeping a boat back. So, the idea is that this example is given is that we may go on in devotional service, but if we don't cut our link with material attractions and attachments, then we stay where we are. We don't make progress. Then it becomes shrama. This is a prime case of shrama eva hi kevala. Someone is doing hard work and he can ask the money. He said, you asked me to row all night. I did it. I did my work. Then you should pay me. But no, row all night. But then it's understood that you have to untie the boat. If you don't do that, you don't go anywhere. So therefore we have Bahu Janma Kare Jadi Shravan Kirtan Tabutana Pai Krishna Pade Prema Dhan. We can go on hearing and chanting over many lifetimes, but we don't get the result of the treasure of love of Krishna if we make offenses. So it's understood, there are many statements in Shastra which just the first morning I was here, I quoted many verses such as Nashta Prayesh Bhavadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashloka. Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki, that by regularly hearing the Bhagavata and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is almost completely destroyed, and irrevocable loving service to the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. So there are many such verses which describe the effect of hearing. But it's understood that this is provisional. Just like if you get all the ingredients for the cake and you mix it all together, but there's something else you have to do. You can gather all the ingredients, mix them in the proper way, but that's the point. It has to be done in the proper way. There is a process. If it's not done properly, then you may do everything else properly, but it doesn't work. Just like bordering on the controversial here, I see in our movement there's so much emphasis nowadays on kirtan. You have a diary, is it, from Mayapur, which has kirtan written on it. So there seems to be the entrance into our movement of this sahajya idea that you just do kirtan, but all the other things, there's not much emphasis on that. So, yes, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, but Harinam, chanting has to be accompanied.
When it's stated, it's understood that that is provisional. It depends, there are other factors also. Otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada described, you can train a bird, certain kind of birds, like a parrot, to say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But when the bird comes, when the cat comes to catch the bird, then the bird won't say Hare Krishna, it'll say, Aah! So it's not chanting from the heart. Another example is given that many fish are in the Ganga, but they don't get the benefit of Ganga Snan. Their whole life is one long Ganga Snan. But they don't get the benefit that someone who in full consciousness comes, offers obeisance to Ganga, takes bath. There's a whole system for taking bath. Nowadays, people just put their body in the water, but there's supposed to be a whole system of worshipping the Ganga. Just like for chanting Gayatri, it's not just chanting Gayatri, there's supposed to be a whole procedure of Sandhya, Sandhya Vandanam. And Sandhya Vandanam, it's not just Vandanam, it's not just praying, but there's so many things that have to be. First you have to take a bath, and even for taking the bath there are so many rules. So even the statement, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, it's not that the process is imperfect, but that we have to understand it properly. It doesn't work otherwise. Just like there's this Sai Baba madness, it's the current prominent manifestation of Hindu insanity. So they say Sai Ram, Sai Krishna. So they say the name of Krishna and Rama, but they don't get the proper effect that a pure devotee gets. They may get the effect of Nama Bhas, as Haridas Thakur described, that the Muslims can be delivered, they can get liberation if. For instance, if someone, the example is given in Shastra, someone may die being killed by a pig. And as he's dying, he calls out, Haram, Haram. So a Muslim, if he says, Haram, Haram, that means something terrible, to die. To have anything to do with a pig is very, and to die being killed by a pig is very bad. So they say hara, they mean something else. But they're not calling out to Lord Ram, but somehow or other they're chanting the holy name of Rama. And they get liberated. They don't get prem, but they get liberation by doing so. In the English languages, there are quite a few words, not very popular now, but like Laundarama, Sinarama. So the name of Ram is there also. What is that? Sanketam parihasyam vaistovam helanam evava. What's the next line? Vishnu. I can't. Anyway, those are the four ways of chanting the holy name. With Nama Bhas, Vaikuntha Nama Grahanat. Now I only got the fourth line to go. So these are four kinds of Nama. Stoting, chanting the holy name, not as a pure devotee chants the holy name, to indicate something else, just like we're going to the Sinarama. Sinarama means cinema. Fancy way of saying cinema. So you're saying the name of Rama. Sanketam parihasam, in joking. Oh, look at those funny Hare Krishna people. Stobam, to praise something or someone else. Or neglectfully, just you say it in the course of a sentence, that someone may come on the, oh, sorry, I saw a Hare Krishna, something like, I saw a Krishna devotee, but without any, just saying it as if it's another word. Vaikuntha nama grahanam ashesha gham. One can be freed from unlimited sins by chanting the holy name by the improper system. But that doesn't give love of God. So people who say Sai Ram, they get the they get the effect of the offense of considering some fakir from the early 20th century, was it? Late 19th century, as being Ram, the Supreme Lord. But they also get the benefit of saying the name Ram somehow or other. So the point is, there's a procedure. How to... Procedure means it's not exactly like a clinical operation, but there are certain modalities which bind us in this material world, and there are processes to be released from this material world. There are processes to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadha Kabunai Shavanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariye Udai. Love of Krishna is dormant in everyone's heart in this material existence, and by the process of devotional service to Krishna, beginning with hearing, that dormant love of Krishna is awakened. So who's going to tell us about this? Well, we could possibly get a course in a university, not in India, because the only courses here are in engineering and medicine and accounting and management, nothing as abstruse as religion, sociology or philosophy or any such thing. So in the West, you could take a course in Indian philosophy, as they call it, and you could study the Vaishnava philosophy. But the inspiration to actually take that up in our life and the guidance of how to do so has to come from a devotee. If one is to follow the process properly and be benefited by it, one needs guidance. As with any more complex discipline, in medicine, for instance, it's not that simply by reading books one can become a doctor. With the exception of that Ramanuja from South India, it's not just that by reading books of mathematics, you can understand. Actually, he hardly even read books. He just came to him from a previous life. You know this, a famous mathematician? The general process. There may be someone who's born a great devotee, like Shukadeva and Parikshit, who are being... Parikshit's being discussed in this chapter. And then the Tulayama Lavena Api, which is being stated here by the sages of Naimisharanya to Suta Goswami, that will be very much in the case of Shukdev Goswami, who is yet to appear in the Bhagavata. Doesn't appear till the end of the first canto. So, guidance is necessary. So what does it mean that just a moment's association? It's not shaktipat. Shaktipat. Generally one requires to associate over a longer period. Just as in that Satang Prasangamamavirya Sangvido Bhavanti Hrikarna Sayana Kataha. tajoshanadashvapavargavatmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishati.
By hearing in the association of devotees, then shraddha, faith, rati, attachment to Krishna, and bhakti, devotional service, they develop anukramishati, step by step, point by. So it's a gradual process also.
Ado shraddha tata sadhu sanga atha bhajana kriya tato nartha nivritti satato nishtha rujistata atha saktistato bhava atho premabhyudanchati sadhakanam ayam premna pradur bhave bhavet kramaha.
So the whole point in saying all that verse was to emphasize the word kramaha, step by step. Pradur bhav, I mean, becomes manifest. Step by step, there are different stages. So one requires the association of devotees to guide one step by step. So what is the meaning of just a moment's association? Well, that's the inspiration, as we heard from Mahaman Prabhu yesterday. Just by something that Srila Prabhupada often did. He often said jai to people, and sometimes he might touch them on the head also. But at that particular moment that had enough life-changing effect or life-giving effect on Mahaman Prabhu. It may be also in various ways. There is a story of one devotee, I can't remember who it was, if I ever knew who it was, but who he was walking down the street on a rainy day, and he felt that on the sidewalk, there's a little difficult to narrate in India because you don't have such nice things as sidewalks. You only have potholed roads. So he's walking with his shoes on, and he feels that something is stuck on his shoe. And he looked to see on the shoe, and there's a little piece of paper sticking on his shoe, which can quite often happen if the sidewalk is wet and a little bit muddy. The mud acts as an adhesive. So he stooped to take off that piece of paper. And for some reason, there was something that was written on it. It was a printed piece of paper. And somehow or other, he looked to see what was written. And it just caught his attention. There's a few lines of writing that this is something amazing, which he never thought of. So it was a ripped up piece from a magazine, which that it was said at the bottom, Back to Godhead. He had no idea what Back to Godhead magazine is, but he found this one paragraph so striking that he cleaned it off, and he kept that piece of paper in his wallet, and he would regularly look at it. And sometime later, someone came and tried to sell him some magazine on the street, and just brushed them aside. There are so many hawkers trying to sell you so many different things. But then he just saw the magazine's called Back to Godhead. Oh, what's that magazine? Give me one. And he took it and he read it, and you can fill in the rest of the details yourself. He took to devotional service in full seriousness. So, moments association, arranged by Krishna. As Mahaman Prabhu said yesterday also, Krishna is the perfect timer. He arranges things in such a way that just at the right time, when after going through millions of lives, that's there in the Muchukunda story. There's that verse, after millions of lives, one may eventually come to the shore of the ocean of material existence. So just at the right time, Krishna arranges that someone can come into contact with devotees just when their consciousness is such
that they can accept that. And then click, click, it clicks. Yes, this is what I need. This is what I have to do. With myself, I can give the example. I first saw Srila Prabhupada's books, I must have been about 16 years old, something like that. My best friend at school, I lived in a town not far from London in UK. He told me that, he showed me some books. It was a Monday morning. He showed me some books. One of them was Sri Yuksha Upanishad, and I can't remember what the others were. That was the old printing. Designs now are different. So he said excitedly to me, I went to London at the weekend and I got these books and I saw it's something Indian and I immediately rejected. He said, Indian guru, I know all these Indian gurus, they're all cheaters. So I didn't want to look at all. I wasn't ready at the time. But about 2 years later, I had another opportunity to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, and then I read one of them and went to the temple, and again, you can fill in the rest of the story yourself, fill in the dotted lines. So, there are many such instances where we find that Keshav Bharati Maharaj, if I remember next time I see him, hope I see him, because you never know, devotees, I don't like to say it, I'm just passing off here and there. So Surabhi Prabhu, the architect for the Krishna Balaram Temple and Radha Rasbihari Temple in Bombay, he just passed away. So yeah, next time, he wrote in some Bhakti Godhead article that by a series of coincidences, which were just, it couldn't be just by chance, that his whole circumstances changed and his whole mentality changed, and then he met the devotees, and if it hadn't been for all these coincidences, apparent coincidences, then he wouldn't, it brought him into devotional service. So Krishna is arranging it. That we could, just the way things happen in a devotee's life, they can understand it's Krishna's arrangement. You just can't put it down to chance or luck. What is this luck? That I wonder, maybe someone could investigate. I have some kind of idea that maybe the word lucky comes from the Bengali pronunciation of Lakshmi, which is lucky. So I wonder if the English word lucky is derived from the Bengali lucky, but it's probably older than the British connection with India. Sounds like an Anglo-Saxon word, and I guess the Latin would be fortune. So what is this phenomenon of luck? If we take a completely materialistic view of the universe, there can be no such thing as luck. But then why do people all over the world have this concept of luck? Luck, we understand, according to the Vedic worldview, means Swakarma phala bhukpuman. Everyone gets what they deserve. What is that? Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karanam gunasango sadasadyoni janasu. We get better or worse bodies in this mature world because we are stuck in this material nature. Trying to enjoy the effects of the three modes, and as a result of that association with three modes of material nature, we get various kinds of bodies. And this can go on and on and on and on, and there's no end. buds. There is that verse. What is that? Pavar Pavarga. That's. Can you try and find that? That's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also. That someone, after wandering in this ocean of material existence for many, many lifetimes, they may, by the mercy of Krishna, come to the shore. B-H-A-V-A-P-A-V, wild card. Chaitanya Charitamrita is like all the important philosophical points of Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed there. Did you find that? Pavab, the first word is Pavab, Pavab. Anyway, then the next point is, when you get the association, then what do you do with it? Then that verse, or two verses, I also quoted 3 days ago, that Brahman, well, we make it three verses. Eta Brahmanda Bhari Ananta Jivagon Chaurashi Lakai Jonite Koriye Brahman. There are unlimited living entities wandering in this material world. Then, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One out of all these unlimited living beings, one who is very fortunate, may get the seed of devotional, of the creeper of devotional service, they may get that seed by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. But then what do we do with it? What is that verse? Shebi jalaya. Malihoya shebi jakareya ropan. Shravan kirtan jale kareya shechan. So then you have to become a gardener and plant the seed and water it with hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that is in the association of devotees, satang prasangan. And one has to take advantage of that. Mridehamadyam sulabang sudurlabam plaban sukalpo guru karnadharam mayanukulyena nabhasvateritam puman bhavabdhim natarit sa'atmaha. This human body is very rarely attained. It is like a good boat which is capable of crossing the ocean of material existence. We also, if we are fortunate, then we get a good captain for the boat in the form of the guru. We have the favorable winds for blowing the boat, which are the instructions of Krishna in the Shastra. With all these advantages, if one still fails to cross the ocean of material existence, one is as if committing suicide. So we're all very fortunate to be in this situation where we can hear and chant about Krishna in the association of devotees under the guidance of the very capable guru Twando Darashita. What is that verse in the beginning of the first canto right here? We think we have met your grace by the arrangement of providence. Twanno Sandarshitam. I never learned it, that's the problem. well. I know so many verses, it's. Ah, here it is. Changna sandar shito dhatra dustarang nistitir shatam kaling sadvaharang pungsam karna dhara ivarnavam. So that karna dhara verse, that word which came in the verse. So so we think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as the captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. So there's an important, just one line, Kaling Sattvaharang Pungsam. Kali Yoga takes away all the good qualities of a person. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment? Congratulations on Rath Yatra. Looks like Indradev was behaving himself. The rain was coming and then it stopped for a few days while you were arranging the Rath Yatra. And during the Rath Yatra, there's no rain, like last year, which was a washout. And then again now, the rain has come. Jai Jagannath. Yeah, so thank you to all the devotees who worked hard. And now, next thing is to continue working hard. Maybe not with such intensity as before a festival. Festival means increased intensity. Yeah, did you find that? All right. Then any question, comment, please? Congratulations on staying awake in this class. Sorry, it was a struggle for several of you, but you did it. I remember once Brahmananda said, I've worked out how to stay awake in class. I give it. Because usually wherever he went, he'd give the class. Hardly there was anyone on the level with him. He was senior to everyone. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Jagannath Rath Yatra ki jai, Hare Krishna.